We are the ink to the page, your pen land the punch. Onomatopoeia, pal, we got the stuff. We know they got story, been new, they got hot. Complex narratives and black carries, tell me where they see us. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, not they wanna be us. Out the damn cage like a nigga from Georgia. Insane and out the brain and lacking in origin. Act flashbacks and shots to the system. Downloading new issues and sitting for a listen. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, not they wanna be us.
They wanna be us, they
wanna be us.
Where I see us, where
I see us.
Where all the black people at, man.
Where I see us, where I see us.
Welcome back to another episode of Where I See Me, the podcast where we look at comics and media with lots of questions in mind, mainly, where the hell are all the black and brown people? I'm Jamie.
And I am Marcellus.
Marcellus, how have you been doing?
I've been good. I feel like a lot of this week has kind of flown by personally. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny, Isabel and I have both been in this habit of get home, okay, gotta eat, gotta unwind, and we've just been playing games. I've been playing a lot of games and watching my shows, my novellas while I do so to unwind a little bit, and then we reconvene for a shared movie or TV sort of marathon over dinner. It's still cold around here, up where I am. It's starting to get warmer, but I feel like the summertime, you used to sometimes go on a walk together, like in the evening, mm-hmm. sort of like unwind, but yeah, I've been gaming.
What kind of games do y'all play?
Well, she just kind of unearthed her Switch for the first time in a long while, and she's been playing Fall Guys. Think of it as like Wipeout, but like little people.
I think I've seen those, like little, they look like little, like they've been sewn together or something.
A little bit, yeah. Like little, like beans almost. A little more, I'm trying to think of what the, like those Halloween costumes, those inflatable costumes, like mm-hmm. little people like that. And she's been having a ball with that. And then I play a lot of like either story games or kind of D&D style RPG little games. Ooh. Stuff that I can just like, what's the term for it? Roguelikes, where you can just keep playing. Doesn't matter if you lose the story sometimes, you can just keep playing it again.
Do they have single player D&D games? Or like where you're playing with a computer? Or
they have stuff that emulates like the choices, right? Like the idea that you have like you go through like dungeons, or you have options for like probability. Some of the more story-based games that I've played are very I try to pick them up, but I always if I lose like 2 weeks from playing them, I always feel bad because I forget what I'm supposed to be doing in my real life. But there's plenty of games where you roll dice or there's some adventure to go on.
Okay.
How have you been, though? How are you doing?
I am doing okay. I am doing okay.
Those are some long vowels.
I know. It's like I'm trying to convince myself. I am, though. It's just, you know, I think as I've been saying consistently this season, I'm ready for the semester to be over.
100%.
Oh, my God. I'm like ready for it to be over. Right now, I'm in this weird section of the semester where I have like my artist practice is bumping up against my teaching practice. And so things are just like colliding in funky ways and trying to maneuver everything. It feels like, you know, when Mario is like jumping from the little things in the sky to get to the next one. From block to block, and you don't want to, and he doesn't want to fall. Like it feels like that at times. So it's like I have maybe two more weeks of 2 weeks of chaos. And then things will kind of go back down to normal, whatever normal means. But yeah, it's been a month.
Oh my God. Heard it here first. It's been.
Goodness. Oh my gosh. Have you listened to any good music lately?
I have this revolving door of music, both through like Spotify's Discover Weekly. Shout out to Discover Weekly for putting me on to music constantly. And TikTok for just unearthing music that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this group or this song, or and then it just gets things stuck in my head. I'm pretty sure the song is from a group out of the either 70s or I want to say the 70s called the Silvers, I think.
The Silvers.
And it's this, people have made meme edits because the child singing, because it's like a group of teens, very almost Jackson 5-esque in terms of the age range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this song where the young man singing sounds a lot like a character off a Cartoon Network show. Like, just the tone of his voice is so similar. So people keep drawing or making little animations with this song.
Really?
And it's just the section of the song where he's singing like, "Can you remember the rain?" And the videos are funny enough, but the song is just so beautiful. It makes me think of all those ballads you would hear in the 70s where like children are singing about love and loss. It's like, what have you loved and lost at like the tender age of 12?
You're a baby.
But I think my sort of rotation has been, you know, things like Doechii. As always, and then just taking a lot of R&B and lots of new music has come out this year, and I am so slow to take it in unless it ends up in an algorithm. But what about you? What you been bumping?
Ooh, what have I been? I've been listening to this group out of the UK named Flow. I think I've mentioned them before. They just dropped a new single and they have Missy Elliott on it. And it's called Fly Girl. And it's like, they sample the line from, it's not Get Your Freak On. Work It. That's the one. That's the one where she says, if you're a fly girl, get your nails done, get a pedicure, get your hair did. Like, that's the chorus of their song. And then like Missy Elliott comes on for her verse. I was like, this is so cute.
Love a cosign.
I've been listening to them. Also listen to Yendri, who is this, I don't know how you would classify Yendri's music. I mean, she's not necessarily making, is it like Latin R&B or Latin pop? But it doesn't feel poppy.
Those rub up against each other all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, she has like a new, like one of her latest singles is called Herrera, and it's a bachata. So it's like she's blending, you know, reggaeton, some aspects of she's collaborated with like Damian Marley before, other and like reggaeton artists. So she's like I think she's like kind of carving out her own lane. Like I don't really know where to place her musically. But I really enjoy her music. And I think she's a really great performer. But when I'm not, you know, I'm not listening to them, I listen to a lot of rap for sure, but I'm listening to like a lot of the older, like rap from the 90s, early 2000s that I grew up listening to, like in high school. Yes. School. The newer stuff, you know, like if you asked me who were the new boys in rap, I could not tell you. I mean, I do like Key Glock. I do like him.
You're hipper than me, I should say. So any name you say at me, you could be making it up. you could be like Young Turkey Sandwich, and I would be like,
yeah, that's yeah, a person. Sure. Oh that's my God. Key Glock is from Memphis. I guess I'm listening to a lot of Southern rappers. Like the new, if it is someone new, it's like Key Glock. Mm. And then there was another one who had, it was like he's trying to bring back the crunk era. And now I'm like, dang it, I'm not.
The crunk era?
Yes. What is his name? He has a song with Glorilla.
Oh. I know Glorilla.
Yeah. Duke Deuce. That's his name. Duke Deuce. I was like, what is that man's name? I know.
Say it one more time.
Duke, D-U-K-E. Okay. And Deuce, as in two.
I so strongly want to say Duck, Duck, Goose.
Don't do...
But Duke Goose. Okay. I find myself, it's hard for me to keep track of newer male rappers versus newer female rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even necessarily that there are like an uneven amount coming up, but I feel like the quality sometimes, because
mm-hmm.
the spotlight on any particular rapper is like a pendulum moving so fast.
Yes. I definitely would agree with it. Like for a moment they're here and then they're not. And it's weird because like the national, gosh, okay, there's just so much to unpack there. Okay, so you have, you know, Gen Z, they're like this whole generation grew up on the internet, grew up with rap being the popular music of their generation. True. Like that, like rap was the pop music, the popular music, right? Which is why we get people like Billie Eilish, who, you know, dresses the way she does, just sings the way she does, right? Because she's influenced by rap, R&B-ish things, but is doing like pop. Which, you know, I mean, if you think about the history of music, all of that stuff has really been drawn around racial lines. And so what's considered popular with one group, I don't know. I'm kind of losing my train of thought, but
I think there's something to be said about the idea that genre is both great for archival means, but it's restrictive in that the audience, the largest audience dictates what is valuable a lot of the times. And there's no, like if you were to go into what is popular music between each era, even regionally that changes.
Yes, absolutely. And
there's no sense of like if you take the hip hop of the 2000s, you know, from West Coast to, you know, the South into Middle America over to the East Coast, even the variations between hip hop throughout the eras just changes. Like the bring crunk back. Crunk music, if you played some crunk music in like New Hampshire, I have no idea how that the community would take that. I'm like, why is it so crunchy? Wow.
I don't think it's not crunchy.
At the speakers, the bass blasting.
But you know, I would say, you know, if it was a Little John song, they would be okay with it, because Lil Jon, people love.
There's always exceptions. There's always exceptions. Someone has to be the, not like poster child for anything, but I feel like there are people who rise above genre and that their sound is too undeniable. Lil Jon, T-Pain. There's people who just like take it and go all the way to peak entertainment quality. Lil Kim.
Oh my God, I love her.
Queen Latifah. There's people who like sometimes it's almost to the point where it's not just the music, it's also their performance and their like charisma that takes the music a little further. I know we're jumping around time periods, but you know what's funny to me? When someone can't really write, but they can rap. They really can rap.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's not really the words coming from them, but boy, do they know how to jump on a song.
Are you thinking about anybody in particular?
Cardi B.
Yeah. You know, people are always telling me, well, she doesn't write her own songs. I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. I look at Flavor Flav's show, I don't see Bodak Yellow anywhere in that woman's mind. But I don't think anyone could have rapped Bodak Yellow like she could have.
No. She's a performer. Thank you. Exactly. I think, you know, when people are I think that the women in rap are probably held. I mean, men get called out for having ghostwriters, but I feel like they call out women more.
Almost on default half the time. Unless they are truly like whizzing around the competition quickly. Mm-hmm.
And then if they're not being called out for being ghostwriters, they're being called out. Like, there's this active attempt to stifle them. Because I remember when Ice Spice, Lil Baby.
Shout out to Ice Spice for the first time.
I think she's adorable. When Ice Spice was like on the rise, I mean, and she's still rising, but the fact that she has a good following. But when she first was on the rise, there were people who released leaked a sex tape or something, like a revenge porn, something that she was in it. I didn't see it, but I kept seeing people posting about it because people were also posting about like Ice Spice getting like all these views and like getting signed.
Trying to downplay and put her own sexuality against her as a...
Yes, exactly. I guess if you all haven't figured out what the topic is for today, we're talking about
our favorite soda brands.
Sir.
We're talking about female rappers and how they are truly, and this, you know, I'll speak for myself, but I think female rappers are the heroes of modern rap. As it sits.
Yeah, I will co-sign that. I will gladly co-sign it because it's very few men that are doing it right now. Very, very few.
Even if you were to sit like, because people always come, they come to the table with their, you know, their staple condiments, the ketchup, mustard, you know, all the barbecue sauce, saying, Kendrick Lamar, actually, if you look back to Pimp My Butterfly, where did that come out? Give me more than one person. You can. It's like, it feels like debates happen constantly, where you're looking at the quality of rappers that come up each year, and the creativity is not the question. I think it's just the variety. Mm-hmm. Every time I see a new female rapper come up, there's something a little different in each one.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're from the same, like Ice Spice has a sound that I feel like I've kind of heard before, but as far as New York rappers go and the collab that she's trying to do, I would not have put her on a Pink Panther song.
But it in works. My life.
But you know, like if DaBaby. Rest in peace to the baby. Not because he's dead, but his career is gone. If you put him on, who could he even pair with that would like him enough to do that?
He was on what's Lil Baby? I was about to call her Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
He was on Future Nostalgia, but she had him removed after he made all those homophobic and transphobic remarks, right? Because he was.
And that, you know what? That might have been on Dua Lipa's part, to be quite honest. Not, you know, But like, because he was popping pretty well. And she's popular with, you know, I would say the the general sort of popular music crowd, but you almost kind of need a big rapper on a song every once in a while to be taken like you're a bigger name. Katy Perry did it with Snoop Dogg. I'm trying to think of, there's like a bunch of female singers that do it with rappers, but
you know who the OG is though?
Tell me about it.
Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Mariah Carey stayed having rappers on a remix. Soon as she got free of Tommy Mottola, she was like, oh, bring my people.
She said, I'm going to do what I can with what I got.
She said, bring me everybody. Because I think she has a couple of songs with Bone Thugs and Harmony, which I'm like.
Multiple.
That, what is it, Breakdown? I think it's on Butterfly, which a lot of people consider that album to be her like magnum opus. Mm. The piece de resistance. She's had consistently good albums. And even if you go back to Glitter, the soundtrack, it's a good soundtrack. People were just buying into all that Tommy Mottola stuff. And like, we didn't realize that was happening behind the scenes. We just saw Mariah Carey like just kind of breaking down because of all the stuff that she was dealing with that we couldn't see. And so, you know, of course, the media in the early 2000s hated women. Ooh, it hated them so much.
It still kind of does, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it does. It still kind of does. I think that the mindset, though, of women has changed in that in the early 2000s, I think a lot of people thought, like, you know, just we just have to take it to get along. Mm. But then 20 years later, we're still not really any further. So it's like, oh, no, we're just not going to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to speak your truth. But this collaborating with rappers, right? Like, that is a very significant moment, I think, in pop music, because Mariah was pop. I would say Mariah was pop. Mm-hmm. Whitney Houston was pop. Whitney Houston, I don't think ever had new rappers on her, did she?
No, not in any sort of like.
I don't think so.
I think her respect of the other sort of like divas was the thing. Okay. She would co-sign on people like, I'm so happy you're doing good. Was her? I'm trying to think of as far as sort of the giants that rap stands on the shoulders of. I feel like almost in the same breath, right, of women having to sort of withstand a lot versus their male counterparts in music. There are a lot of rappers who now, through both sampling and remixes, kind of get some more play. Like, I remember knowing Lauryn Hill prior to Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, this is good. And then knowing that people were discovering her through, like, Graduation. I think it was Graduation.
Really?
Well, because there's so much, I think, in trying to encounter new artists. And at the time, that almost at this point, I would say iconic cover, the Miseducation cover.
That teddy bear at
the picture of her, of Lauren's face.
No, you're talking about Lauren, not Kanye.
Yeah, no, but I was
still thinking school.
That cover, I feel like, is almost more iconic than Graduation at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, yeah. Absolutely. And
she didn't have to put too much more music out. After a certain point, Kanye kept putting albums out. And I feel like that era where he leaned into sort of like the soulfulness and like the Chicago scene.
He also had a cover with Selena Johnson, When It All Falls Down. That's Selena Johnson, I think. Let me look at Graduation's track list, because I'm like, do I remember this album, Good Life?
There's so much in way of samples And I feel like the amount of music that comes forward, like when you look at like the Salt and Peppas, the Eve, DeBrat, like all these people who they're in the way hip hop always seems to sort of evolve, they get sampled or the lyrics get sort of like swapped around and borrowed.
Yes.
Just because they have such a command on their own sort of confidence. And I don't think every female rapper has that same sort of like, I'm a enter rap with a certain like a sexiness or try to, you know, here's my version, but they kind of just come as themselves. And either get celebrated or like made fun of for that, but they still, I don't know, most of them withstand it.
Yeah.
And it feels so much stronger than like, I'm trying to think of, there was one particular rapper who always made me laugh. T.I. T.I. cannot withstand a single mean comment before he pulls out a thesaurus. It feels like I'm dogging on male rappers a little bit, but no, I kind of am.
I don't see that. Something I want to ask you, because when you mentioned, I don't know, something you said a few minutes ago, did you, if we go back, did you watch the Grammys? This year's the Grammy. Did you watch it?
I did not.
Oh, this, okay. Go back. So there was a tribute to hip hop, 50 years of hip hop. Right. And it was basically, you know, of course, this mad dash, bring this person out on stage, bring this person, like a medley, starting from the beginning when they had Melly Mel and like the people he was with. That sounds really bad, but I was born in 1988. I don't know. I don't really know Melly Mel's music like that. I know it, but I don't, like the dots aren't connected. So if you're listening to this, you're like, you don't know who Melly Mel, keep that to yourself. but they brought you know, Melly Mel, they brought out all of these different rappers. They had, I'm trying to remember, was Queen Latifah was there, because I remember having a conversation with my mom later, because she was like, what's the name of that song? It's like, don't be calling us names and stuff. And I was like, mommy, that's not, the song's called UNITY. No, don't be calling us names and stuff. She was like, okay, but that's what she says in the song. And I'm like, yes, kind of, but that's not the name.
MC Light there?
MC Light was there. But in, I think maybe Salt and Pepper. But when it came to like newer, like getting closer to the 90s, 2010s, 2000s, I don't remember seeing any female rappers in that tribute. Also, because I went on Twitter that night too, because it was also very East Coast heavy. They only had two people.
It always
is. It's always, you know, and especially when you have people like Jay-Z is like helping to coordinate this thing. Of course, it's going to be very East Coast heavy. You had, you know, the South was missing. The Midwest was missing. They had some people from the West Coast, I think. I can't fully remember. I'll send you the link. If I find it on YouTube, the link for that. Because it was, I mean, I was, in, you know, it's fun to see everybody like come out. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you're like, okay, where's everybody else? The only person, only female rapper I think I remember from the 2000s was Missy Elliott. And it's like, if they hadn't had Missy Elliott out there,
she's everywhere.
You need the Swift kick in the butt for not, if they didn't include her. My thing is, where was Nicki Minaj? Because regardless of how you feel about Nicki, you can't say she wasn't running the 2010s, because she was.
So I, in my notes for this episode, I had placed her. So I
do you have a bracket?
No, not in a bracket, but I separated the old, quote unquote, old school. So some of the like more foundational rappers for specific eras, and then like the past 5 years worth of like newer upcoming rappers. I put Nicki with the old heads.
She, I mean, she's there.
She's been like at it for, she really used the 2010s?
Like maybe even 2008, 2009. Because you can't, and the influence, all them girls had that asymmetrical ass bob. The everybody, bars. The short in the back, long on the sides, asymmetrical bob. Everybody was, it was like we had, it was like women had a new icon, right? Because the girls went missing for a while, or in a sense of like they either, you know, Queen Latifah started acting, Eve also started acting, you know, they were doing clothing lines and other, you know, they had other interests that was happening for them. And I think, you know, this is my speculation, that maybe going those other avenues was a better outlet in some ways, because the music industry, from what people keep saying, like insider wise, it's really daunting, and you don't make as, especially now, you don't make as much money as you used to, because now everything we stream, you don't make money off streams, you make money off concert and album sales. And people aren't really buying albums because I can stream it on Spotify and pay them $10 a month, you know? But that, going back to that tribute, It was just very like, my God, it felt incomplete to me. And, you know, it's one of those things where I could see whoever was organizing it. Like, you know, somebody's going to be mad regardless, because there's just so much, 50 years of a genre. There's been so many artists who have come up, and, you know, not everybody can be included. But I would love to see that as a performance piece of all, if you get every rapper who ever made it on a stage in medley, how long would that take? It would have to be a couple of hours, I would imagine, right? Like, it'd have to be a couple of hours.
And there's even, like, even the question of, like, made it.
What do you even mean by made it?
Because, right? Like, you're, like, what's the... I always remember seeing it's said more often now, but I think the first person I heard say this was Mos Def, like, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure there are people, like, if you ask like a batch of Houston rappers, like, oh, I love so and so. Like, who's Meg Thee Stallion's favorite rapper?
Pimp C? Yeah.
Some of those, I think, is what lengthens out that list, right? The people who are like, oh, this person was up and coming in Houston or in Dallas.
Her mom was a rapper, too.
Throw her into the list. How did, what did she sound like? I want those tapes.
Yeah. I wonder if she still has her mom's tapes. Oh, that would be... That would be really, if she still had her mom's tapes and could sample her mom on a record. I don't know. I don't know if she's at that stage of her like grieving process of her mom passing away, but I think that connection would be really beautiful. But I say all that to say, you know, the Grammys thing, they're missing. For the new school, they brought out Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Baby, and Glorilla. That was it for the half of the school. That's it. That's who they said.
They didn't bring out the heavy hitters.
Who would you say are the heavy hitters for new Meg? School? Well, you know, I so wonder.
Doja.
Oh, see, Doja's an interesting case.
Rico.
Doja and Rico are interesting cases because I feel like, and people might be mad at me for saying this, but it's a very true observation. When Black people talk about the culture, capital T, capital C, it is a very kind of limited view of what's cool and what's not.
Mm.
Or what's it comes down to what's digestible and what's not. And I don't think that some of a contemporary Black audience who is people who are like for the culture really aligned with Doja Cat or Rico Nasty. And it's really unfortunate because they're both very talented.
Oh yes.
You know, and I think it has more to do with them being more like Rico plays around with being like goth and very like punk, very alternative, right? And like in a lot of those people's minds, they think of all anything alternative music wise as white. So they're not like, they're not going to align it, even though she definitely should have been on that stage. She definitely, I feel like she could have been.
She's the same lane as DMX, to be quite honest.
That's a, that, okay. I would like to hear the elaboration of this lane.
The only thing that makes DMX not a little punk is the fact that he is a black man, and the aesthetics of his sound lean into more of a hip hop tradition. But if you told me a man was barking on a song you heard and the cover of the album was him drenched in blood, I would assume it was a punk album that you're describing. You know,
his other, there's another album, The Great Depression. I had that album. That, some of the songs in there, it was very emo. Felt very emo. And then also, what was the song? I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get, that song is emo. It's super emo.
There's so much genre meshing. I think that's when it gets, right, the idea of like the restriction and trying to describe these songs. It limits what you're able to do when you're compiling artists into these sort of conversations. But I do feel like how you perform and sort of the idea of gender and performance, mm-hmm, gets in the way of the music, because there's so many, I think not all the time, I think sometimes it's a positive for some people because they're able to bring in who they are so elegantly into their music, mm-hmm, and I feel like the positive example to me is DMX and Rico doing that for themselves with anger, mm-hmm, and like dominance. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun, with like all of their visuals were always so fun, and I can't imagine a cooler sight than, like, if you look back at someone like the, I don't even know what specific concert or festival it was, there's a video of DMX performing, and it's in like Germany, I think, mm-hmm, and that crowd, you can't see the back of it, it is so huge, it looks like a sea of people. And he's running around with, like, I think he's wearing, like, overalls or something.
Oh, he loved an overall. Which, you know, honestly, I think that they should bring that back for rappers. Because
Chance the Rapper tried to. And then he hit that, my wife. that era of time where people were like, man, Chance the Rapper's soft now. Which,
wasn't he always?
That's what I'm thinking, like, he just stopped doing drugs.
Which, I mean, good for him, right? But his, I mean, because I thought his, like, I guess,
Chicago switch up, rap.
Which, I'll be really frank, I don't know a lot about Chicago rap other than, like, Kanye, Twista, Chance the Rapper, and drill music. That's really.
There's a lot of artists that come out of Chicago who have, I feel like, this love for vocals that comes across in like Kanye and Chance quite a bit, but there's a lot of R&B mm-hmm. influence in Chicago, or a lot of like poetry based performers like No Name coming up.
Oh right, No Name, and then Common,
like there's all these people who they're very melodic in how they perform.
Which I wonder, because house music was also created in Chicago. Like there has to be some kind of connection in that, I think, like sonically, with how the rappers and R&B artists and like house, how all of those things.
Oh yeah, like I'm trying to think of, now, I can't remember where she might be from Atlanta. I'm forgetting that because I don't think I put it down in my notes. But like you saying, you bring up house music makes me think of Azealia Banks.
Oh, Azealia.
another new, I would say almost new crop, new school, because she came a little after Nicki.
She did. Her, and you know, it's unfortunate that her and Azealia, Iggy Azealia, came out at the same time with very similar sounding names, and people really just latched on to Iggy. Even though Iggy was like cosplaying as a southern white girl who could rap, I legitimately thought she was from Alabama the first, like, because I heard her mixtapes and things first, and I was willing to give her a chance, which, you know, some people probably would side-eye me for that. But then I heard an interview with her, just like in her, you know, and she had, I'm like, who is this Australian lady?
I gotta be honest, I feel like I clocked her as Australian the first time I saw her.
Did you really?
I think so, because she kind of, she made me think of like a claymation character a little bit. Like one of those, like one of those, like Wallace and Gromit.
Stop, now I see it, don't.
No, you see what I mean? Because like, and I was like, ain't no way you got like a British influenced face. But I agree. I did the same thing. I was kind of like, okay, you know, I've watched 8 Mile within the past 5 years. Like, I think let her cook. Let's see what happens. Because sometimes there's just rappers that come out and they're for comedy or they're for a certain amount of skill, and it's fun. Like, it's not going to progress the music forward, but it's fun.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. Not everything has to be so serious. Like, some of the music can be, not everybody wants, music shouldn't be your only outlet, I think. Like, if you want something more intellectual, read a book, watch a documentary, something, I don't know. Or listen to the music or a podcast that you want those things from. I don't know. People get really upset about hip hop and the state of it and like what is important. And I think that's because those are people who are thinking back to the raw elements of what hip hop is supposed to be, and how the culture has changed. And because it has become America's music, pop. It, again, like we were talking about, you know, previous episode about like America's comedians. You know, I think that there's just like this anxiety about what's going to happen to it and like who, like, you know, white people taking it over, which they, you know, have been doing since we've been making music, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a new thing. And we always adapt to whatever, you know, we always make something new and they come check in and we'll go on to the next thing. It's like giving them crumbs in a way. But I say all that to say, I think that, you know, people who are really just wanting like the foundational, like hip hop was like the four elements of like graffiti artists, break dancing, the DJ and the MC. And so much of hip hop is now solely based on the MC. The DJ still a little bit, but I mean, we could have a whole nother episode about DJs and how like some of them are just really bad. Like, it's just you yelling over the track. And
the art of the DJ is
right. It's not, and this is the thing. I think that, ooh, this is going to sound bad. Okay, there are some, like, I would say commercial black spaces with the DJing, the music, and it's just bad. It's bad. I went to Phil and Derek's maybe like last year, and the music was so loud. I could not even hear my own thoughts, right? Like, because it's trying to make like a vibe, but this is a restaurant where people are sitting down to eat and have conversations.
It can't be too loud when I eat, even if I'm by myself.
Right, because it's just like, and it was giving me a headache. And I think at one point I was with a table full of other women. And at one point someone was like, can they please turn the music down? Like, please, can they turn it down? It's just, and it was just, you know, and it wasn't even anything. There wasn't like these really, I don't know. I feel kind of spoiled by some of the DJs in Houston who do these very like thoughtful, curated, set where you're literally going on a sonic journey through you know, time, space, and what they're playing versus where, you know, you get this. And I honestly think the guy was playing stuff off YouTube. And I was like, I can do that, you know? So if people being so worried about the state of hip hop and solely focusing on what MCs are talking about, look at these other branches, because the DJs need some help. Some of them are not doing it. And, you know, if anyone's listening to this and is offended, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it's too tight, take it off. You know, like, it's not, if you know that's not what you're doing, then don't worry about it. You need to, as Bernie Mac once said, you know, if it's too tight, take it off. That's, you know, and that's that on that.
There's also, I think, the concern, right, of without, you know, with the quote unquote, the state of hip hop. You listen to what you're searching for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think rather than being open, because sometimes I think it's funny when you have like the quote unquote old heads, right? Or someone mm-hmm. who is maybe against the newer generation of music, because you have the mumble rappers, you have the more experimental, you have maybe the less focus on lyrical intent and like they're doing their own storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've heard people who are like, oh man, like I'm fine. What I like? I like Tribe Called Quest. I like Jay-Z. Ice Spice is trash.
Yeah.
Just to think of like another, someone who's like currently popping right now. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you don't have to like her, but that's probably not the same vibe as what you're looking for.
Exactly.
Have you listened to, and I'm trying to remember her name.
What's her song?
I'm not going to remember.
It's going to, as soon as we get off the call, you're going to be like,
yeah, it's going to hit me later. I had just seen a performance from her on like a Tiny Desk, maybe.
Tank and the Bangas?
That might have been it. Like, but I'm just thinking of artists who they come up and like, okay, watch the Tiny Desk. Like, but find those new artists, but actually listening to new music coming out rather right. than just like, okay, your Twitter feed is there. Like, I do love to passively be given music, but if you want to find artists similar to what you already like,
Yeah, you just got to do some more research. I mean, one of the platforms I follow is Colors. They invite artists to, like, perform their song in a studio, and it's, like, a different color every time. And they do, like, an interview with them. And they feature people from around the world. So you'll have, like, French rappers and, like, people from Thailand. Like, it's like a very multicultural, international sonic scene. Which is how I mentioned Yindri at the top of the episode. That's how I discovered her music, was through Colors. Because I was like, who is this girl? I was like, because first of all, her style was really cool. Like, what she was wearing. I was like, that's a really cool outfit. And it was because it was, you know, which if we to circle back to a lot of the female rappers and their like performance outfits, it was like still sexy, but it was like a lot of fabric that she was wearing. And so it was like a blazer-esque kind of coat that was open and she didn't wear anything under it. And so it was like, just like a strip of skin and then like palazzo pants and she was barefoot. And it was like, it looked like it was made out of like fine like heavy canvas or something. I was like, this is an interesting look. It feels very like,
I'm picturing like the Fifth Element going on
something. Yeah, it could definitely be something like that. And so, you know, I was like, oh, this, like, her style attracted me, and then the music, I was like, oh, the music is good. I would definitely recommend people following Colors, Tiny Desk, if you're looking for music. Also, I would say that the type of person who is interested in, who's like a diehard Tribe Called Quest person. And who else did you mention? Like Jay-Z?
I picked two or three East Coast rappers.
You know, or, you know, the person who is like diehard about that. I don't think that they are Ice Spice's audience in the first place.
No, yeah, there's always a demographic for every, like, the audience for a rapper who is doing consistent production and, like, development exists out there. Mm-hmm. There's always an audience for some, like, I think in that same breath, sometimes there's this dismissal of, it has to be better than what I liked, or it has to be better than, you know, there's these bars that you have to hit. Like, if you live in this region of the world, you have to beat this person. You have to beat mm-hmm. this person. Like, there's some, it's almost, I think sometimes the idea of, like, the album sales, record sales, performance, like the capitalism mm-hmm. of existing is what denotes sometimes the quality. And if you're really good, but you don't have enough money to go on tour, you're underground. And if you're really good and you can tour, then you made it. But, like, sometimes I wonder if it's enough to, especially in this era of the internet and being able to share music, and, you know, there's forums, there's people doing lives. I think of all the artists who, I mean, shoot, even, I know not necessarily within rap, but, like, thinking back to when we talked about, like, Pink Panthers, being mm-hmm. one of those people who's, like, collabing with people, mm-hmm. A lot of rappers lately. She started online. She was on Tumblr and Twitter, bathroom pop, like, bedroom pop.
She definitely feels like, her sound feels like it is post-internet art. Mm-hmm. It definitely feels like that, because it's very much something I would, like, I don't know, it just feels like internet to me. That's what she gives. But yeah, I think people just have to do more research into the things that they like. But to circle back, right? So we're talking about how the women are really the ones carrying it right now.
Absolutely.
But, you know, hip hop has been a traditionally misogynistic space. For these women to carve out a space for themselves and to really be on top as they are, I think it's no telling the things they've had to go through behind the scenes. I mean, I remember her name, she goes by Lotto now, which the fact that her original name was Mulatto, problems, right? Problems, and it reeks of colorism. Like, that's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the problem. But she was talking about, like, how there was a rapper that she wanted on one of her albums, like, as a feature, and the payment for him was that he would get to sleep with her. And she was like, I'm not doing that. And she was like, it's just, like, expected sometimes in the business that in order to, like, to climb your way up, that they just expect you to sleep with them. You know, or to, I guess, not even date them. No, but nobody really wants to be in relationships anymore.
But there's some sort of, like, exchange.
Yes. A transaction that is very salacious, mm-hmm. I would say. And so, you know, I don't know. I would imagine it's very difficult to be a woman in that industry. But the fact that they've made it, I mean, they're still having to deal with it. And we remember Nicki Minaj having to deal with a lot of it when she's talking about, there's, like, that iconic video of her talking about, like, the pickle juice in the dressing room, and how if she had accepted it, that's what they would have continued to give her. I mean, she was right. Like, on a side note, am I a Barb? I don't think I'm a Barb, but I do like Nicki Minaj. Oh. I'm not going to fight for her on the internet, though. But
No, that is a losing battle.
I don't fight for celebrities on the internet. That's just my general take. But she was absolutely right, right? Like, she had to demand the things that she wanted. And of course, when a lot of female rappers do that, they're like, oh, she's a bitch. Which, iconically, Missy Elliott. one of her best songs, one of the most expensive music videos ever made was She's a Bitch, which honestly, it still slaps, right? Oh, yeah. And it's like, if I had to make a life soundtrack, that's going on there, even though I don't think I be giving bitch sometimes, but I be feeling myself when I hear it, when I listen to it.
As you should.
Like, I wanna look like Blade, dress in all black leather and look like Blade too when I hear that song. Which, I mean, yeah. But I think, you know, it hasn't been easy for them. And so and the fact that there's so many female rappers who are coming out, and you know, some of them have been critiqued, and the critiques are fair. Like, sweetie, God bless.
Very, you know, very what? In the same way, we let a lot of littles and babies come up out of the male variety.
Very true.
Who I don't know what's on. It could be SoundCloud, or it could be the radio.
Yeah.
And they get their shine. So like, so we need what her iron stomach can go ahead and fill that lane. Right? Because someone's got to do it. Someone's getting that deal. It might as well be her. But include her in that, in the general conversation, right? Yes. Why narrow the road?
Right. Because I think the men need to be called out too for when they're not giving. They really do. It seems like they mostly get ignored. But I mean, mind you, I'm saying all this, but I realize that my perspective could be biased because I gravitate towards more female rappers anyway, because I am also a woman. So I don't know. I feel like for me, I relate more to the things that they're talking about versus with the men, you know, there's this kind of minefield of misogyny that you're having to get through. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, and violence, even though some of the girls are violent too. Some of the girls are violent too. But I will take girl violence over man violence. Over boy violence.
That's valid. That's valid.
I don't know. Do you remember the song Girl Fight by Brooke Valentine?
I haven't heard in a very long time, but
I mean, that was such, I mean, it's a fun song. It's a rowdy song. I like when women are rowdy. We're rowdy in their music. I mean, also, I don't think we can leave this podcast without talking about the City Girls.
Like, I was gonna say they were on my list, the City Girls, because you. I feel like you're the person who had me listen to the City Girls the most.
We're riding around with me in the car. It was all City Girls.
Bumping City Girls. I feel like there's something to be said about building a brand. City Girls.
They really have. Really, really. Those two girls from Miami, I love them.
If I flew into Miami and it didn't sound like City Girls outside, I would be upset. That's how much I associate them with that city.
And you know what's funny? Going back to when we were talking about like people being alternative, JT, like her fashion sense, like people were trying to drag her because she was, I don't remember who she was dating. Was she dating Lil Uzi Vert? Maybe. I don't remember.
Yes, she was.
She was. Okay. But you know, she was starting to wear more like emo, raver, punk-ish. I'm naming a lot of different communities. I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm like fusing them all together.
The whole club.
I just see, basically, but she was wearing more clothes like that versus doing what Young Miami is doing and wearing clothes where she's like, it's very much of, I would say, capital T, capital C, the culture, and like this like push for Black women to be sexy at all times and everything that they do. And JT was doing something like just experimenting and trying a new look, and people were not having it. And it's like, let the girl be. Like, let her wear her black and lime green together. Like, she's not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to what you had on your list, because we could talk forever. Because this 50 years of a genre, 50 years of a genre.
So do you want my new school list?
Yes.
Okay, so my new school list was it was a broad sort of stroke at some, at least the ones that I went through my like songs and looked at a lot of the more notable artists that I thought were relevant to the conversation. Mm-hmm. So we were Azealia Banks, of course, mm-hmm. we talked about her. City Girls this is a no like ranking order. It's just okay. City Girls, Flo Milli.
Flo Milli shit.
I knew the phrase Flo Milli shit before I heard a Flo Milli song. Because people kept saying it. She, and even her delivery is so funny. I feel like she has such a like sarcastic sound mm-hmm. to her, like, I would almost say the shenanigans, the sort of like bravado she has is so very fun. Glorilla, Dochi with two mm-hmm. eyes, mm-hmm. Ice Spice, Rico Nasty, Doja Cat, Megan, Little Sims coming out the UK. Little Sims has been popping off.
I know the song now. Venom from the movie.
Funny enough, I didn't realize that was her, but I just heard some of her songs more recently. Mm-hmm. I think off of that, because she got some push and more people were like, "Oh, who's this?" But her music's been interesting the past year or two. No Name. I feel like I had been looking at some of the girl duos and groups mm-hmm. that have just kind of popped up. A lot of overseas people. I see a look of like of excitement on your face to tell.
When you said girl duos and groups overseas, I mean, there's this group, these two girls out of Brazil named Tasha and Tracy. Like that is their Tasha e Tracy is their. I don't know what they say in Portuguese, but they be going in. They really do.
And that's all you need. It just has to bump. And then when you translate it,
I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of love for the art of hip hop that occasionally you do get male artists who are really talented. And sometimes the male ego gets in the way of the appreciation for the music. And sometimes you have those, you do have those, they're not the big superstars, but they're kind of like in the mid range where they're good. They make music. Like I think of looking at male artists like Open Mike Eagle.
I don't know who that is.
And that's okay. Cause he's kind of fun, but he's got such a great hip hop, like archival knowledge that he's someone who, if I heard him be like, "Oh, Mike Eagle, what's your opinion on what was the group you just said?
Tasha and Tracy."
He might already know and be like, "Oh, let me give a review based off." Like, I respect the people in the mid range who are there because they love the genre and the history of the music. Because sometimes I feel like when you get too big, you lose that love. But I feel like there's a lot more female rappers currently in the game mm-hmm. who. They've had to fight too hard. They gotta love this.
Yeah.
They have to love this. Because even when they succeed, they're critiqued at such a level that it is, I'm sure, disheartening.
Yeah. Because I think back to when Sweetie was on Hot 97 with Ebro in the Morning. And
Ebro. Sorry. Keep going.
And they asked her to freestyle. And he was like, "I think it needs work." Like, you know, basically, you know, kept telling her to keep practicing or something like that. And of course, not a month later, but like maybe 8 months later, she's like blowing up with "That's My Type." And I, you know, because the thing is with Sweetie's flow, she's a Cali girl. And I associate California with a very easy, low, like, I don't want to say low energy. And it is low energy, but like in a, like, I'm too cool to care.
Not a fair amount of like effort up front.
Right. And like that is the style of her flow. Like it is very just easy breezy. I'm gonna just say some things on the mic kind of situation.
West Coast rap has had a lot of that. I feel like the recent years is only where some of the energies come up. Mm-hmm. And that's the most energetic person I can think about the West Coast. They end up being alternative by comparison. Mm. Mm.
Who's in your old heads list for women?
Keep mine again.
It's no.
I'm coming from the West Coast, and it's all my like songs. Missy Elliott was at the top. It was not again not ranked, but immediately Missy Elliott, mm-hmm. Lauryn Hill, mm-hmm. Lil' Kim, Queen Latifah, MC Light, Left Eye.
Rest in peace.
Salt and Pepper, Eve, Da Brat, and Nicki. I kind of kept it a little more basic because there's just so many people that have. Like I didn't have Trina on there.
Ugh, I love Trina.
But there's people who they're popping for their region mm-hmm. to such a degree that they are a part of the history. But you really almost have to break it up, I think, by the coasts.
Right.
And where you're coming from. Cause I think my favorite thing sometimes is when you see local rappers who are so in, they're the rapper that came just before the next person blew up out of that town and went on. Like they were the one raising mm-hmm. the rappers of a particular community. Like I think that happens a lot, I feel like, in Chicago. Like there's people who never quite get out mm-hmm. of just doing it for like the local level. Or you see it, I feel like I've heard so many stories of people trying to come up out of Atlanta.
Oh my gosh.
And then like, what's the Atlanta sound? Like you could, if you took, like there's so many specific rappers, I think both out of Texas and Georgia where I didn't know they're from these states because mm-hmm. they almost have to carve out a whole new sound for themselves.
Yeah. I would definitely say like, Travis Scott does not have a Texas sound. He does not sound like he's from Houston at all. Other than like, what, dropping the pitch down on a word or two to like throw reference to Chopped and Screwed. And not that all rap music in Houston is Chopped and Screwed. But like there's a certain like sonic, like kind of slow, you know, kind of, I don't know, the music that was coming out of Houston in the early 2000s and the 90s, it was very like, I don't know. It felt like stuff you would ride around at night, driving across the city, listening to me. It was a very specific kind of sound that I think paired well with what was, you know, coming out of New Orleans. So yeah, the regional thing is very real. And like, I hate that people don't respect regional differences because I think that is what it, things being so different everywhere, I think is really a strong suit because we have more perspectives on a more different variety of music to enjoy. If I had to think about my not bracket, but my new school, that's hard because because it's more so like I like specific songs and
that's fair.
Some of the girls don't be giving me full albums yet. So there's a girl that I followed on TikTok first. Didn't know that she was a rapper. She's from New York, Maya the Don. She made a song called Telfy. She sampled the Thong song. The instrumental for the Thong song for Telfy. And I was just like, oh girl, that's dangerous. Cause you know, everybody like Thong song. But I like the song. I mean, it's a good song. It's a good time. I like, you know, so I definitely like what she's doing. I like Ice Spice. I think she's adorable. Dochi, Doja Cat. I've liked since 2014. She's been in the game a very, very, very long time. She didn't just spring up overnight. Herself
so many times.
There used to be video clips of her like performing in these like dive bars with very minimum like support. you know, there was one where she's like literally just like standing next to a speaker on a very tiny stage. Whoever her management team is now, they scrubbed that shit off the internet because I couldn't find it anymore. But Doechii has a song with Rico Nasty called Swamp Girls or Swamp Bitch. What is it called? I listen to that song at least every, like, once a day on my drive to work. I think it's Swamp Bitches. I think that's what it is.
I would believe that.
Because Doechii, I think, is from Tampa, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's called Swamp Bitches.
She has such a specific... Her lyricism is crazy.
She's good. She's really... She should have been in that New School thing.
I would love to see her do a collaboration with?
Who?
Why'd I just suggest it and then forget the name? Denzel
Curry?
Yes.
Okay.
Cause they're both Florida rappers.
Mm.
But I just, Doechii's so fun. And the fact that she did something with Rico, who has at least enough of a bite to the way she performs.
Mm-hmm. And their voices on that particular song, like, almost sound like, I was like, wait, is this Rico or is this Doechii? Is this Rico or is this Doechii? Like, cause they both do that like high pitch, but then I was like, you really listen to it. I was like, oh no, that's Rico. But yeah, I'm like, who else? City Girls, of course. Although I feel like they're becoming like intermediate, like where they're no longer emerging. People know.
Yeah, who the City Girls are. They're sophomore.
Yeah, they're, you know, they've come a long way since period. which, you know, I think we have them to thank for people saying that at the end of, you know, sentences. City Girls, Megan Thee Stallion, of course. I don't know where I've been that I didn't know who Mona Leo is. Mona Leo is another Houston rapper. And I think for the Houston girls, like, or any Houston rapper who's coming up and has a Houston sound, what I've noticed that they've done is sampled an old school Houston rap track from the 90s or 2000s. Like Megan's Big Ol' Freak samples. Why can't I think of it? I think 25 Lighters on My Dresser. That's what she samples.
That's almost a staple for a Houston rapper.
Yeah. Yeah. So she sampled, you know, Big Ol' Freak is that, but like, also, that song samples Night and Day by, I can't remember the artist. So it's like a sample on a sample on a sample. Mona Leo sampled Beating Down Your Block, Knocking Pictures Off Your Wall. Tour. Right. Which that is, you know, another Houston staple. So I definitely like her music. I'm trying to think who else. Because I have a playlist on here, and it's like it's got a pink Lamborghini as the picture, the cover picture. And it's all female art, all female rappers. If I think internationally, I really like Tasha and Tracy. I'm trying to think who else. I don't think I've added anything to this playlist in quite a while. Let's see. Megan, Cardi B, of course. Who else is on Doja, City Girls, Rico Nasty, couple of Sweetie songs, Melly. Melly only gave me that one song, Icy. I don't know any more Melly songs. What is other little baby's name? I cannot think of her name. But yeah, just a lot of Trina, a lot of Foxy Brown, DeBrat.
Oh, Foxy Brown.
Carmen Sandiego made a women's version to Juvenile's Back That Thing Up that was called Ball With Me that was really popular in 2000 in Houston. I don't know if they played it anywhere else.
I have heard Ball With Me, but
you have?
I heard it once I was in Missouri.
Okay. That's good to know because I was like, I hope she got some more play. I also have on this list, I have Kaya's My Neck, My Back, which is like an iconic song. Jackie O, Adina Howard, Baby Mother is another one who does not get her shine. She makes really good music. And there was a point where she was just like, I'm not going to make music anymore. And then she was like, psych, I made an album. And we were like, yes, but I do think she's was serious about like, I'm not making music anymore. So I have Baby Mother, Spice is from Jamaica. Soleil used to run with Cash Money, I think. So it was like New Orleans.
Cash Money.
I have one song on here by Rihanna. Remy Ma, Conceited, I Got a Reason. Remy Ma and Nicki Minaj iconically were in a battle. Remy Ma released Sheether. Sheether, as in like Nas's. Let me tell you something about that whole Nas and Jay-Z thing. I don't know a single Jay-Z diss track that he's had towards Nas. Don't know, but I know every Nas diss track towards Jay-Z.
Nas does not. There is no dagger slash. It is a pull out a swashbuckling sword with a flourish. If he's gonna jump at you.
Mm-hmm. Cause what is it? Got Yourself a Gun, Ether, and there's another one. But like, yeah. Khalees? Who else is on here? Khalees? But Khalees doesn't... Young Baby Tate is another new school.
Young Baby Tate.
Young Baby Tate. This is so entertaining for our listeners to listen to.
I guess a question... I was about to say, to break that up, a question I have for you is, do you find yourself excited for where hip hop is going in the hands of a lot of these artists? Or do you wonder if there is some new, like, okay, we've done this for a little bit, what's the next phase? Because it feels like there's phases of music that have kind of...
Oh, absolutely. I just don't know what the phase will be. Especially because I enjoy a lot of the female rappers, but there is so much pressure on them to look a very certain, like, particular way, to have that kind of like stripper blow up doll s body,
hyper feminine,
right? And I think, you know, maybe even before, I mean, Nicki Minaj did kind of usher that in, where like getting your body done, I think, for the female rappers, that kind of being a standard. But also Lil Kim as well had, you know, plastic surgery. Multiple plastic surgeries too. There's just a lot of pressure, and I think that is more so the pressure from, like, the general pressure in American culture for women to look a very particular way, for Black women to look a very particular way, and that gets intensified if you're a star in the spotlight. All of the concert outfits, I need them to stop going to whoever that is making those. I will never forgive Beyonce for wearing a leotard in Single Ladies, and now everyone wants to perform in a damn leotard. I am so sick of it. I want the leotard to die. I want it to die.
I think it's slowly dying.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not going away fast enough. There's still
there's some people who I've seen perform. Granted, I haven't really done any live music since COVID, but the last female rapper I saw live was Doja.
Really?
It was at like 2019 Post Malone's festival he had in Dallas. Yeah, Posty Fest.
Posty Fest.
And I saw her perform. She was wearing like some, how would you even describe it? It made me think of like, I'm going to use the Fifth Element again as a descriptor, but it was some like cream, like funky fit. But I don't know. I feel like I almost want the alternative girlies to sort of take front and center and
set the pace.
Cause I
do more, too.
It's more interesting.
I did too. Because who was it? Ice Spice be wearing them like big chunky furry slippers.
She called the baby fat. All the.
Yep. Like I think they need to have more fun with their outfits, because right now everything's sparkly, everything's a leotard, and it's all that like illusion mesh and stripes and like strips of fabric. And I'm sick of seeing it. I'm really sick of it. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see it anymore. Mind you, I don't even go to concerts. I'm just seeing it on the internet. This is just complaining about, you know, the concerts I see on the internet. But I would very much like to see the alternative girls infuse some fun into rap. I think it's a good time. And I think that because right now Ice Spice is really popular, regardless of how people may feel about her, like skill level or whatever, I think that people improve, right? Mm-hmm. Over time. Like they, ideally, if they really love what they do and they love their craft, they're going to invest and improve in it. I feel willing to be patient with her versus, you know, I guess some people don't, and that's okay. They don't have to, but I don't know where I was going with it. but I really want like the alternative stuff to come back in, because I think that, you know, I don't think I knew too many. I'm sure there are drill rappers that are women. I don't know too many that are, but like they're talking about Ice Spice's style is like she's more drill. And so it seems like drill is about to replace trap, which I think trap has been gone for a while. I don't know where we are sonically, to be honest.
It is not at the forefront of
no
many Americans' minds in the same way it was like post Chief Keef.
Yeah, and I would say Migos too.
Because even then I say Chief Keef, I'm sure someone would be like, if you align him with trap versus drill, I'm gonna fight you. But I don't know. I feel like you're right. Those people who came out like the aughts into the 2010s who pushed trap forward aren't there in that same way anymore.
No. Not at all. Because I remember T.I.'s album, Trap Music, came out when I was in high school. And I don't think I knew in high school what a trap was. I mean, I did after, like, a while. But, like, initially when it first came out, I was like, what's a trap?
Like a mouse trap?
I did. Because I was like, oh, yeah, Trap House. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I follow.
I was thinking Scooby-Doo.
Stop. Not a Scooby trap.
Tom and Jerry style. When I think of it's like I just looked up female drill rappers, because I didn't go genre specific earlier. First name comes up is Ice Spice. And then I think that's just Google being.
But she's the Princess Diana, as she says.
Which I love that she's making that comparison. That is so bold and also not who I would pick. They got Nikki on here. They got
Nikki. She might have had a tramp.
Asian stuff. Doll. They got Asian Doll on here. Okay. They got Katie got bands. Sasha Gohard. Dreezy.
You know, the girls are getting to the point where there's a bunch of girls that I don't know. So it's like a oversaturation of the girls in the game.
Here for it. Listen, I think it's, again, it's that pendulum, right? Where it's moving so fast. And I think it used to move so fast that some female rappers would get kind of pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
But they've always kept pace. I think now it's slowed enough and the focus on like the artistry is there, where acknowledging sort of the lanes they're occupying and the fact that there is room for so many people to succeed. I don't know, it's a little more interesting these days. We're beyond. I went to the hat store and I bought my. We're a little further than that.
So you know, and it felt so that in the 80s felt so wholesome, right? Because, but also it was like really, you know, bringing people together, bringing community together, like hip hop. A hip to the hip hip hop, you know, stop to rock it to the bang bang, boogie to up jump the boogie, which has been sampled so many times. Little Kim,
oh yeah,
samples it in No Matter, which is one of my favorite Little Kim songs, is No Matter, because the music video is iconic in that she has Missy Elliott, Mary J. Blige, and Carmen Electra in the music video, and they're in this very like ostentatious gold gilded house mansion. It was just so, it's just very fabulous, all of it, and gold and pink, like everywhere. But yeah, I think that the earlier music, it was more, some of it was more wholesome, right? And hip hop becomes raunchy, I think, with, it's funny, because I feel like people often associate it with Two Live Crew who come from Florida. So, you know, and I think that's also like the West, the East Coast is like disdain for the South, is that we made the music raunchy. We made it over like club music, oversexed, and people are like, we were really trying to inspire people. Cause you know, a lot of those in East Coast rappers, a lot of them are 5%ers, which is a whole nother topic for another show. You know, and so some of that rubs up against their ideologies, you know, or a lot of them are, you know, Nation of Islam too. So It, you know, us down here being ratchet and raunchy and throwing something, like it's too much. It's too much. We're not behaving properly. And I say to that, respectability politics is a cage. It's not freedom. So, but anywho, do you have any final thoughts?
If you can't name three female rappers, and you are a rap fan, just three female rappers that you like, you gotta fix that.
Yeah, that sounds like misogyny. Because there's something for everyone out there. It really, right. There's so many women rapping. There's gotta be at least two that you like.
Now, I'm not even saying like you write your favorite three rappers. Just name three that you like. And if you can do that, you... All right, I think it's a good litmus test for where your taste really is, because there's just too many performing at such a high level.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think do you have any final words before we wrap to our thank yous and our bows?
I want female rappers to move into the next era of, I mean, and this is really late in the show to introduce this as a talking point, but to move into an era that their fans can grow with them, and that in a sense of like, you know, and when you're young, it's about like partying and having a time and like dating and sex and all that stuff. But like, as we get older, are what we care about changes, and if the music can start to influence that too, or start to mirror that, I would say would be nice. I want to see more. I mean, I think that there's so many women rapping now that we are starting to get to this, maybe a plateau where everyone's starting to, you know, present themselves in very similar ways, at least the ones who are mainstream. And so the introduction of someone like Ice Spice, I hope that she is able to maintain the thing that makes her very unique and appealing to not only a Black audience, but a queer audience. Cause I think that is one of her biggest demographics, which that of course is a very multicultural audience, having a queer audience. So I think that, and you know, and I want this kind of shift for people just to be themselves and to present themselves in their work, and not feel that they have to, I don't know, perform or, be the, you know, this pressure to be this idealized feminine, for them to shape themselves for themselves, I guess. But, and ultimately encourage the women that listen to them, the people that listen, to shape themselves for themselves too, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I agree. Less of the character
mm-hmm.
that you have to play.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I think we'll get there. I think it will get there. Because I think that...
It's just like that Ice Spice song says, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Wait, what?
What's the bottom dollar that's
stop. Tomorrow? No, not her being a little orphan nanny. Which was funny. They had like the Time Magazine 100 Influential People of the Year. And it was like all, or like New Yorkers or something. And it was like all these people in like a cross section shot from above. And
it was, I like, remember that photo.
It was like a Where's Waldo. The first person I see is Ice Spice because of that orange hair. Like she's, I mean, immediately identifiable. Her and her little boots and mini skirt and a little curly orange fro. Adorable. So yeah, the sun will come out tomorrow. With that, we want to thank you all so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter, on as well as TikTok, Instagram, if you're not following us there. We are Where I See Me on Twitter and Instagram, and Where I See Me podcast on TikTok. We want to also please make sure that you rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us. It helps us grow. It helps us maintain this. We've been doing this for 3 years and we're pretty consistent. And so if you've been listening to us over the past 3 years, thank you so much for your support. We just hope that you continue to listen and that you enjoy what you're listening to. We encourage you to reach out to us, talk to us on Instagram, Twitter. We want to hear from you.
Want to thank Friends of the Podcast, Playdate, for providing us with the wonderful tunes, which we always close out the podcast on. Why don't we talk about it? Playdate with new tunes, always on the horizon. Fellow lovers of all things artistic and pop culture of the like. I have been Marcellus.
And I have been Jamie.
Stay nerdy.
And stay black.
Sensational.